coverage of the CONIFA World Football Cup in London on Energy FM with Organic Roofing Solutions. Like Ellen Bannon, we have plenty of more in Asbury. Pride and passion in all of our roofing work. Contact Mick today for your free quotation on 242-118. Come on, you Manx.
Manx football in general, how is the state of it at the moment?
In my opinion, it's basically, if I was skiing, I'd be going down a red run.
Right.
It's going backwards from when I first came to the Isle of Man and the interest. There's a number of reasons for that. That could be, you know, social media, you know, Facebook, football in particular, being on television. I'm a great believer that in the Isle of Man, you should be able to play first team football at the age of 15. The Veterans League should start at the age of 40. So there are things that we've done as an association which have damaged the game. I wouldn't say irreversibly, but they've got to make changes for things to pick up again, and they can't just sit there in their ivory tower and say, well, we're doing enough, it's up to everybody else, because it's not the case. One of the biggest factors for me that people walk away from the game, if you're playing one of the top teams, would you yourself turn up every week to lose 10-0? Mm-hmm. I don't think you would. I think you'd, you know, change sports. So the biggest thing that the FA could do, and a lot of footballers talk about it, but there's only a handful that are against it, the Isle of Man should go to three leagues, because then you're not going to get these, you know, really high scoring games. Well, certainly not going to get as many. But again, they'll go, oh, it's down to the clubs, and it's down to this, and it's down to that. And if the clubs don't stand up and shake themselves down, then football will go downhill and continue to go downhill.
And with that in mind, does that make picking the squad easier or more difficult?
It makes the squad more difficult because the interest isn't as what it should be. But having said that, we do tend to be getting more players off the island into colleges and, you know, playing in other leagues around Britain or in America. But again, then, because we're not fully recognised internationally at the moment, it's very, very difficult to get our players to come and play for Ellen Bannon. Well, there's an article here on my phone I could show you where Seamus Sharkey would love to come and play and represent Ellen Bannon in London. And fortunately, his manager sent us a text to say that they weren't able to release him due to other players being injured or somebody that might possibly be due another yellow card. And if he gets one, then he'll be suspended. But at the same time, they've released somebody for Scotland. So that's complete discrimination because of who we are and the level that we are at CONIFA. We're not classed as UEFA. So they don't release the player to play for his country. And that is, you know, that's, it's terrible in my view that that can go on in today's, you know, world when you see what's going on around you. And I just think, you know, Seamus should be able to go. I think all players should be able to represent their own country if asked. But unfortunately, the pressures that come to bear on them outside of the game, i.e. do you want to keep your contract, i.e. do you want to do something, you know, be involved with this football club. So it's almost a bit of blackmail, if you like, from my point of view. So, which is disappointing. But if we had able to get all our best players, then yeah, we are improving. Like, we've got Adam Long, maybe when he gets a proper contract with Wigan, if he's managed to achieve it, maybe that's something he can write into his contract. You've got young Dean Pinnington that's doing well at Wolves. So I would love to see these players represent Ellen Bannon. Yes, they might want to represent England, that's their choice, but let's not forget, you know, half of Barcelona's squad play for Spain, and they also played for, you know, the Basques. So it's possible. Anything is possible if you desire it and push for it. And I would love to be involved within the FA hierarchy, because I would have changed a lot now, and we'd be a lot further down the road, I think.
And what does have to, we'll come back to CONIFA and the Ellen Bannon got the tournament soon, but just what has to change in your opinion? Where's the change going to come from?
There's a few basic changes that I would do. I would raise the Veterans League to over 40. Mm. I would allow the junior football players, the good ones, to play at 15, first team football. They'll say the English FA rules won't allow it. But my view is, if we've got our own insurance policies and letters from the parents, what is the issue? There is no issue if you have insurance and letter or from the parents. So that puts that one to bed. And, you know, I think the English FA play their Veterans League at over 40. So why is it the, you know, if we're going to play apply these rules, we seems to be we apply the rules only when we want to apply them.
And Malcolm, with what you're trying to achieve, these are the things that do have to happen, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to an extent to keep out of the politics amongst football. I think I learnt my lesson in the early years of Ellen Bannon that I was fighting a losing battle by, to an extent, being a lone voice. And I certainly haven't got involved now in local football for the last few years. So I see it from the outside. There is so much that could have happened. I mean, I go back to 2006 when we had Peter Caron in Tynwald talking about the Isle of Man applying to join UEFA. At that time, I believe the Isle of Man would have got in. We've now seen that Jersey have tried and been kicked back. Whether that's the end for Jersey or not, I don't know. But again, I still think the Isle of Man would have had a strong case to join UEFA. I think we could actually put up possibly a better argument than what Jersey have done. All you've got to do is sit back and look at Gibraltar. Gibraltar, a population of 23,000 people. They now have over 130 people employed full-time within football on that little rock. They have significant investment coming into their football from UEFA. Anything up to sort of 3 million euros per annum. They were given 30 million euros for a new stadium, 16 million of which was used to give to the Gibraltarian government for the actual purchase of Victoria Stadium, which the Gibraltarian government have now used that money to invest in other sports, which the Isle of Man, believe it or not, are going to get a benefit of. I think it's next year in the Island Games. I think they've put in an outside pool and a new gymnasium, new hall areas. So, I mean, what it's done for football in Gibraltar is just immense. And I have to say it, we could have had it here. And it's not just for the elite. It goes right through to grassroots football. I mean, that was one of the arguments, oh, UEFA is only for the elite. UEFA isn't. UEFA is about grassroots football. You look at the numbers now that the participation levels in Gibraltar, they've massively increased. The Isle of Man participation numbers at junior level are very good. You look, I was speaking to David Murphy, a referee, who's refereed both in the Isle of Man and Gibraltar. He was telling me about his training courses, the FIFA courses, everything paid for. It's just a different world. We've maybe missed that opportunity. So you look at that and you think, well, then what can we do within the confines that we've got at the moment? And I also look at the factors. One day, the Isle of Man Football Association decided to join the English FA. That was obviously a very brave move at that time. Very good foresight, good thinking. It produced some cash coming in, and Manx Football moved forward because of that. I think that brave step and decision needed to be taken to go another step, join UEFA. But okay, maybe UEFA's gone, so we've got to look at where does Manx football go from here. And as I said, my own opinion, and as I said before, I don't think many listen to it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I seriously would have considered changing Manx football to a summer league. I listened to and watched a very good live sort of Facebook from the FA headquarters, where Chris was part of a panel. What got me about that panel was that, apart from Chris, who had done a little bit of research, nobody else on that panel had done any research into what were the facts about what happens when you have a summer league. Everything was based on their opinion or what they'd been told, rather than the fact things were coming out like, oh, it ruins the pitches. No, well, sorry, it doesn't. The pitches actually are in better condition by the fact that they are actually being played on during the growing season. It creates more injuries. No, it doesn't. There is a written paper being done, which I found, which actually demonstrated there is less football injuries in the summer months. The reason a lot of injuries happen in football is the stop-start nature of winter football. You tend to find a massive rise in injuries at the start of the season, a rise at the break at Christmas, and then at other times where games are called off. People always blame the Isle of Man FA. I'm afraid football is not just about the Isle of Man FA. There is many stakeholders to it, and they're all party to what is happening now. Some people will be very happy with what's happening now, you know, just because maybe Chris says it's not right, you know, that's his opinion. But it is about everybody that's involved in football. And the Isle of Man FA are there to administer it on behalf of the clubs. The clubs have the power to make change happen. If they want to change, they can make the change happen. No doubt about that. What then happens is that that change and that voice has to come from the players. The players are very good at going on social media and moaning and whinging and saying this is wrong and that is wrong. Well, talk to your club committees. If you want change, you can only do it by discussion and talking to your representatives. Because as the Isle of Man FA often say, and they are quite right, these decisions and the way Manx football goes are made by the majority of the clubs. Well, you know, don't just guess at the few individuals who, many of them, are giving up their time for free. They're volunteers, put hours and hours of work in. They're administering the wishes of the clubs. So, you know, just pointing at the FA, I think, is wrong.
I think a massive change in Manx football, and this would be an absolute groundbreaker. When they have their committee meetings, when they're supposed to be represented by all the football clubs in the Isle of Man, that particular meeting, and they hold them, I think it's once a month, that should actually go out live on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they can see who's asking what questions and what's the answers from those questions, rather than everything being from behind closed doors. If football can actually see what's going on inside, you know, the powers that be, that would be a massive move, because people would certainly look at things a little bit differently if they can see exactly who's asking what, why are they asking that, you know, those questions, and what's the implications of those questions. But we never really, they say, you know, you write up minutes, but that's not the same as showing the public what's going on.